it's awkward sometimes when you're on a worship team to have to come back up after you finish doing worship. But they did such a good job. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to take this off because I don't want nobody to get mad at me. I know y'all won't, but I'll do it anyway. So why don't I have a jacket on, man? Why don't I have my Bible with me? Let me tell y'all, we got up this morning, and we started coming this way. I got in my van, and it wouldn't start. But it didn't start yesterday either, so it wasn't a huge surprise. I jumped it yesterday, and I'm getting ready to leave. My wife says, I said, guys, we got to go. We're running a little late. And she said, well, go check that van. Make sure it'll even start. And I go, I was thinking about that already. I don't need you to tell me that. I'm a man in the house. I got this. I walked outside going, I'm glad she said that. Because I didn't think about it. So I go out there, and I hit the start button on my cool new van. We only had less than a year, and it goes, and didn't start. So I didn't want to tell her she was right, so I went ahead and jumped it real quick. And got it running, left it running. We got in the van, got the whole crew loaded up in there. And I looked down at the dashboard when I put it into gear, and the light didn't come on. And I said, that's weird, the light isn't coming on. I looked at her and I said, yeah, we probably shouldn't take this van. It might not make it. So we had to jump out of the van real quick, jump into my truck and my son's car, which can be sketchy anyway. And we drive all the way up here. And so we were about maybe 5 minutes from coming into the church. And my wife looks back at the back seat of my truck kind of like this and accused me. And I said, I left my jacket in the car. I left my change of clothes in the car. I left my Bible. I got nothing. So I'm going to stand in front of this church who doesn't know me at all in my regular street clothes. Amen. Yeah, man, it worked out during intercessory prayer. And we were talking about how we need to be raw before the Lord anyway. And so I'm standing before you raw. And I'm asking you, man, just bear yourself, open yourself up, man, this morning to receive the word that God has for you today. You will be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God is good. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so that's why I'm up here with no suit jacket on, Josh, if you're watching. I know you told me that that's how you typically dress. I'm not being disrespectful, sir. It was really car issues, man. So there you go, man. That's how I keep friendships. All right. Well, is it just me, or does it feel like it's been forever since there's been a church service?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? I know. So I wanted to just take a minute this morning to remind you that we still are in the same series called Minecraft. It's a series that we're doing both at Cornerstone in New Bern and here at Generations Church while we support Pastor Josh in the preaching responsibilities. We're going through the same series called Minecraft. That Minecraft series is a series that we designed on purpose to help build up our minds so that we can overcome the strongholds that a lot of us deal with from day to day. If you remember all the way back when, Josh, he started off by talking about depression. Do y'all remember before he went and had surgery? He talked with powerful stuff, right? He talked about depression, and then we were talking about things like fear, and we're talking about things like addictions and things like that. And Pastor John, when he was here with you last time, I think he spoke to you guys about discouragement, turning your D's into A's, right? So we're talking about some serious issues and some serious topics while we're going through this series called Minecraft. And here's the thing. Your mind is the most effective battleground for the enemy. It's the most effective battleground the enemy has against you. Why? Because nobody else can hear you. Nobody else can experience it. Nobody else can feel it. Nobody else knows what's going on in there. It is literally just you and whatever you choose to allow inside of your own head. So it's the most effective battleground for the enemy. And I want you to understand this morning as we get ready to move into this message, it really all depends on your choice. Whether you can overcome the strongholds in your life or not really depends on a simple choice that you have to make. We're going to talk about that this morning, man. It's all about choice. Let me demonstrate that or illustrate it to you by a little story as we get started this morning. I want to tell you about a little story about a boy named Eric. Nobody here is named Eric, are you? I'm looking. Nobody's named Eric, really? My daughter's name is Erica. We named her after my brother because we thought she was going to be a boy. And she came out a girl, obviously. So we named her Erica. And so now that's why she got Erica. But nobody in here's named Eric? Cool. That feels safe. So there's a boy named Eric, and he always hangs out at this corner grocery store every day. He did it for months and months and months. And what would happen is he would go there, and all these other boys would always gather, and they would make fun of Eric. They would pick on him. They would say, like, he's one pickle short of a barrel, or he's two bricks light of a load. And they would pick on him and make fun of him a little bit. And they would say that he was a little slow. And to prove that, they would always come with a dime and a nickel. And they would always say, hey, Eric, you want the dime or do you want the nickel? And Eric, every time, would pick the nickel. And the boys would laugh and they would run off thinking he picked the nickel, because he didn't understand that even though the nickel was bigger, it was worth less money. And so he'd run off laughing. And the store owner watched this for, a while, months and everything, and he finally got fed up with it. And one time when this took place, he went out there and he took the boy and he said, "Son," he goes, "don't you understand that they're making fun of you? Don't you understand that the dime is worth more? Why do you keep taking the nickel? Do you really not understand that the nickel's worth less even though it's bigger?" And the little boy smiled at the store owner and he said, "Yes, sir, but if I take the dime, they'll stop bringing me the nickels. And I'm already up to $20, amen? Amen? Listen, I want you to understand, man, your choices matter. Your choices matter. It doesn't matter your situation. Your choices matter. How you operate through your situation, it depends on the choices you make before the situation occurs. Uh-oh. That's why the Bible says, don't choose to conform to the world's wisdom. That's why the Bible says, don't choose to conform to the world's ways. That's why the Bible instructs you to set your resolve and to make your choice to follow God, to serve Him no matter what. So to serve or not to serve, that is the question. To serve or not to serve, that is the question. And answering that question, man, is the first step to building up your mind to overcome the strongholds that you're suffering with even today. And I want to tell you something. Sitting inside this room right now, there are people dealing with all sorts of strongholds. Amen. I don't know it, but He does. And your choice to follow Him or not is going to be the decision and the factor of whether or not you're going to overcome that thing or it's going to overcome you. It's your choice. Do you understand this morning what I'm talking about? It's your choice. Making a choice to serve God is the first step in mindcrafting, in building your mind up to overcome the strongholds in your life. So I need a little bit of help this morning. You guys like to talk to each other? Okay, good. I need you to look at three people this morning. I want you to tap them on the shoulder, and I want you to say, "It's your choice. You have to choose. It's your choice." Talk to somebody now. Tell them. It's your choice. It's your choice. Amen. That's the title. All right, settle down. Settle down. I'm going to tell Josh y'all a little bit rowdy out here. Tell Josh y'all I'm going to see him later. Listen, it's your choice, man. You have to make that choice. Romans 12:2 says it like this. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amen. It's stabilizing, isn't it? It's very stabilizing to have an assurance of God's will for your life. It's very stabilizing to know what God's will for your life is before and through the storm. Amen? Amen. That's why God's word tells us, man, fix your focus. Amen. The Bible says, set your resolve. Make your choice to serve God. And then we see it again in Philippians 4:8 where it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things." Stop dwelling on those things that are making you mad, sad, tired, upset, want to make you go back to bed when you wake up in the morning. Stop thinking about those things that make you want to not talk to nobody. Stop thinking about those things that make you not trust people, make you want to smack somebody in the face even though you say you love Jesus. Even if they are your children. Not mine, somebody else's. So told me about how they felt that way one time. Stop thinking about those things, man. Think on the things that are good, right, pure, and praiseworthy. Amen? Yes. It's a decision. You have to choose, man. Why? Because we have to set our minds and our thoughts. We have to direct ourselves towards serving God. If you're going to serve God, then set your focus, man. Set your direction to serve Him then. And then serve Him. Amen? Amen. You see, you have to choose. You have to choose. That's what Joshua said to the nation of Israel when he gathered them together in a place called Shechem. How many of you guys in here know about Shechem? Raise your hand. Don't lie. I'm going to ask you some questions. Don't raise your hand. I wouldn't do that to y'all. But Joshua, in Joshua 24, that's our key scripture for this morning, man. In Joshua 24, he gathered the entire nation in a place called Shechem. You see, Shechem is a very It's a very sacred place to the nation of Israel, always has been. It's where Abraham first settled when he left his homeland. It's where Jacob purchased land. It's where Joseph's bones were brought back and buried when they left Egypt. You see, Shechem is very, very sacred to the nation of Israel. But the problem is, most times, I've been blessed. My father, I'm first generation born in America. I've been to Israel and Middle East and Egypt a ton of times. I was 25 years in the Marine Corps. I served. I deployed a bunch. I've been there a whole bunch of times. Thank you. Thank you for that. So I have a privilege of having been in a lot of these places and understanding the culture a little bit more. But a lot of people don't get a chance to see that. So when I say, man, Joshua gathered them at Shechem, a lot of people, they don't get a chance to really understand and see what that is. And when you're talking about making choices and you're trying to understand scripture and biblical accounts, it's good to take a minute and maybe look up pictures and see what these places are like. And there should be a picture of Shechem for you guys up here on the screen. This is Shechem. Joshua gathered the entire nation of Israel at Shechem because he wanted to talk to them and he wanted to tell them and review with them what it all God had done for them and review their history and show them how they're living in a place where their cities that they didn't build and they're eating from vineyards that they didn't plant and how God had really brought them from point A to point B over history and how blessed they are. And he brought them to Shechem, not because Shechem is a sacred place. That's one reason. Because when you go somewhere that has historical value to your culture, you kind of tend to listen a little bit more, lean in a little bit more. But he also brought them to Shechem. I think there's a second picture. He also brought them to Shechem because Shechem is a natural amphitheater, if you look at it. This is Shechem. And so Joshua, he brings them right here, and he puts six tribes on one hill, and he puts six tribes on the other hill. And the Bible says that he shouted with a loud voice, and they heard him. How did they hear him? Because it's a natural amphitheater. You can stand there in the valley and you can shout loud, and at the summit of each mountain you can be heard. So he brings the nation of Israel. You see, he chose ahead of time where he wanted them to be because it was a moment that they needed to hear, they needed to understand, so that he could tell them a very important thing. And he tells them all about all the things God had done for them and reminds them of their history. And then he asks them a very simple but life-altering question. And we see that in verse 14. He starts off and he says, therefore. I tell all the people that I preach in front of, I say, whenever you see therefore in the Bible, there's always a before. If there's a therefore, then there's a before. And that means that there's a question or a decision point. There's a history behind that therefore. He tells them everything that God had done for them, why they're there, all that God's done, how he blessed them. And then he comes up and he says, therefore. Now it's your choice. Now you have to make a decision. And today, some of you are going to make a decision. Today, some of you are going to break the stronghold that's been capturing you and keep you in bondage for so long. Today, it's time for that thing to be broken in your life. Amen?
Amen.
It's your choice. It's your choice. He says, therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods of your fathers, the ones that they worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship who? Yahweh.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're not clapping. I'm going to give y'all one more chance, man. And worship who? Yahweh. Come on, let's give God a little applause this morning. But this is Joshua, the man, the military leader that we study today. He says, but listen, if it doesn't please you, some translations say, if you think that it's evil to serve Yahweh, then choose this day who you're going to serve.
Yes.
If it's not God, then it's not God. Yeah. I'm going to add a little something to that, and don't kick me off the stage.
Great.
But here's the thing. If you choose not to serve God, then stop saying you do.
Amen. Amen.
Stop it. If you don't choose to serve Yahweh, then don't serve him. That's your choice. But then, can I say shut up in here? Is that not good? Then my wife said I can't. So she gave me the big eyes. She's like, chill out. It's not your place. Then stay silent. Then stay silent. If you're not sure, stay silent. But if you choose to serve God, then serve him.
Serve him. Amen. Amen.
Then he says, if you don't choose to serve God, wait, then serve the gods that are beyond the Euphrates River, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living in. Basically what he's saying is, if you don't choose to serve God, that's cool, man, that's cool. Choose the gods from that we came through. Choose the gods of the people of the land that we're now occupying. What he's saying is, you choose the gods of the people who've already suffered destruction because they made the wrong choice. If you want to choose that, you go on ahead and you choose that. You don't got to agree with me. You can think I'm silly. You can think I'm the only one, and that I'm antiquated, and that I'm old Joshua, and I don't know what I'm talking about. You can think that that was for somebody 2,000 years ago, and it doesn't fit in our culture today. That's your prerogative. If you want to choose that, choose it. But it's a people who've been destroyed. But even if I'm the only one, as for me and my house, we will serve God. Amen? Come on, man. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to conform to the world. Just because the world's saying that the Bible's antiquated, Christianity's this and that, and it's, you know, and it holds people out and it's not in line with what we think is right today. I don't care what you think is right. You didn't create the universe. You didn't create me. You didn't create nothing. You didn't set the stars in the sky. You didn't put the world on its axis. You don't know anything. Because 50 years ago, the people thought something completely different. Don't tell me what you think. I know what the Bible tells me, baby. And I'm going to serve God. You serve who you want. I'm serving God. Amen. Choose this day who you will serve. If it's God, serve him. Amen. If it's not, then don't. You got that right. Ain't that why Jesus died on the cross?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't that why God created us?
Yes.
Isn't it? We got a right to choose to serve God.
That's right.
Y'all get me excited, man. I'm getting excited. Joshua's literally telling them, choose, y'all. You choose. Because making that choice is fundamental to everything God has planned for your life. It is.
Yeah.
It's fundamental to your healing. It's fundamental to your peace. It's fundamental to your joy. It's fundamental to your restoration. It's fundamental to the plans you have in your own mind. It's fundamental to every single thing you think. And let me tell you something else, man. Just because you're going through a rough spot right now, don't you think God forgot about you. Don't think that he's not right there beside you. Don't think that he's not got this thing in plan and in purpose in the right time for you. Don't think that he's not trying to teach you something just because it's something you don't like. Man, if that was the case, my kids would think I hate them. Every time my son comes to talk to me about what he wants to do, I look at him and go, I wouldn't do it that way, but choose you this day what you're going to do. Yeah, my older son, he said that he came to me and goes, Dad, I want this car. What was it? Honda Civic. I said, son, that's cool. You can afford that car payment, but then you got the battery, the maintenance expense, the gas, the insurance costs. And at the end of the day, you divide that, you know, multiply by 12, divide it by 12, all that, you know, you come up with this monthly cost. This is the real cost for your car, man. You can't afford this car. Yes, I can. Peace. Have your way. I'm a sign for you, but the first time you miss a payment, that car is mine. He said, okay, I got it. Now, my son's very smart, man. He's an intelligent kid, and I love him. He's doing great things. Him and a buddy are building a finance company out in Oklahoma, and they're doing great things. But this decision wasn't good. And so he made it. He went out there. And it was less than a year later, he came back and he missed a car payment. And he brought it back to me because it was mine.
Amen.
And we took it back. We traded in. And he got an ugly old Ford. What was that? Was it a Bronco? What was it? Some SUV. I can't remember. It was white. Ugly thing, man. But he could afford it. And he drove it. And he loved it because he could afford it. And he drove it. And you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to learn the hard way, amen? And sometimes God's taking you down a path to teach you something he wants you to know so he can get you ready for where he wants you to be. Because if you get here and you didn't learn that mess over there, then guess what happens when you get over here? You ain't going to be ready to do what you need to do here. You see, he's a finance guy now. Now he's doing things in a finance world. But over here, he had to learn the lesson. Maybe I need to think a little bit further down the road about things I'm not seeing right now when it comes to finances. And now, when he's over here, guess what? He's prepared to do the thing God has him in place to do. Amen? Don't think that God has forgotten you because you're going through some kind of thing. Choose this day who you will serve. You have to choose in advance. You have to set your resolve in advance. Because tougher times are coming.
Yes, they are.
The Bible promises that. The Bible says it, man. Like, hey, you accept me, you're going to have some tough times. You know, you want to follow this road, we're going to work. There's going to be some stuff. Matthew 24:10 says, many will fall away and will betray and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and again mislead many. Because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Bible warns about that in the last days.
Yes.
I believe we're in the last days, church.
Yes.
But that shouldn't scare you.
Amen.
That should excite you.
Amen.
You see, when the world grows darker, we grow brighter.
Amen.
Because of God that's in us, man, overcome all that stuff, man. It means we should be working harder. We should be talking louder. We should be telling more people. It's not time for us to be quiet and sit back and hem-haw and sit on the fence and say, I don't want to make people mad. And I don't want to, you know, that stuff. So choose you this day who you will serve. If it's the world, serve the world. If it's God, open your mouth and serve God. Amen. Am I being too forward? See, some of y'all looking at me like you want to do something. It's all right. Listen, so today, man, we have to answer that same question that Joshua posed to the nation of Israel. We have to choose today who we will serve.
Amen.
My wife and I, we've been married for 29 years. We've been together 29 years. I don't want to lie to y'all. We've been together for 26, 7. Together 29 and married 26, because I know that stuff. September 8th, 1989, man, we started dating, man. And a couple days before that, I walked into the high school cafeteria at Ferguson High School, and my life changed forever. I looked across the way, and I saw a beam of light shining down on this angel.
All right.
She had the big 1980s mall hair. Big old blue eyes, and I walked in with a girl named April, something or other, and I looked across the way, and I was talking to Jessica. We were driving back from Duke Medical Facility, and we were talking about how long we've been together and everything, and I told her, I said, y'all don't even know what happened to that girl. Like, I remember walking in with her, I remember talking to you, but I don't remember. I really don't remember, like, it's the truth. Anyway, we met, and, you know, We were married before either one of us were 20, because we're so smart. So life was tough, man. And we were talking about that a couple weeks ago when we were driving back from the Duke Medical Facility. And, you know, we were like, you know, we came through a whole lot of stuff. And most marriages don't last like that. And we're like, you know, we had to choose that. We had to choose every day to stay married until we wanted to be married again. And I'm not trying to mess with anybody's theology or anybody's love story or anything like that, but just, I'm real talk here. I'm going to tell you the truth, man. Sometimes I didn't want to be married to her. She's not easy to live with, y'all. And I got the mic so I can say it. And you notice I'm not looking at her right now. I'm not either. You're talking about two kids that got married way too young because we thought we knew everything. And so we had to learn the hard way. But we chose every day to stay married even when we didn't want to be married. And that decision, that choice drove us through the hard times because we made a decision before the hard times came up. And it makes me laugh sometimes when I hear people say to me, man, I wish we had a marriage like yours. And I know you don't know what you're asking for. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, sometimes, you know, the grass looks greener on the other side. But when you get over there, you realize that the septic tank overflowed and you're standing in a field of poo, amen? It's not always greener for a better reason. You hear what I'm trying to tell you? And if you're not careful, man, you can get distracted. You can get distracted. Look, I got more that I wanted to tell you guys, but I think this is the right moment right here. I had more. So if you're on the slides, just shut them off, man. Because I feel the Lord leading me in a different direction. Listen, you have to choose ahead of time. You have to make a decision right now that you're going to serve God, because when the world and the distractions and the temptations come your way, and they will come your way, if you have not already set your resolve to serve God, you will turn one way or the other.
Amen.
You will turn one way or the other. In Deuteronomy, Moses is telling the Israelites in his generation the same thing. He said to them, choose. You need to choose to serve God. Because I'm leaving. And Moses was getting ready to pass away. He knew his time was coming up. He said to that generation, you need to choose now to serve God moving forward. And then many years later, here's Joshua. He's standing there in front of the Israelites in his generation. He says, you know what? You need to choose to serve God moving forward. You know, and the Bible says that after Joshua came a generation that knew not God. Because why? Because they didn't choose to serve and know him. You see, every generation needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every generation needs to be told the truth. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in society, no matter what they say is right, no matter how many different genders there are today, no matter how many different political viewpoints there are today. Listen, none of that trash matters when we talk about the things of God. I want you to understand, God puts in who he wants to put in and takes out who he wants to take out. Man, it should not divide the church. Give unto Caesar what Caesar, man, but give unto God what is God, man. Choose this day who you're going to serve. Man, I'm telling you, if you let those type of things divide the body, man, then you're not serving God. And haven't we allowed things that don't matter, things that aren't salvation issues, to divide the body? And what kind of witness is that to the world? You know better than them, man. The movements that are in conflict with the Word of God are stronger and more united than the body of Christ sometimes, and that is pathetic.
Amen.
Can I say that? You see, Moses did it to his generation. Joshua did it to his generation. All through time, man, people have made a call. And in this series, man, this mind-crafting series, you have to choose first and foremost, before anything else happens, before you can overcome any kind of stronghold, before you can do anything else, before you can receive the blessing God has in store for you, man, the very foundational thing that we have to do before any of that stuff can take place, church, is this, man. You have to choose today that you will serve God.
Yes.
And then what that looks like and how that happens between you and him is between you and him. Amen? But there's some things that are foundational, man. Some things that are non-negotiable. My kids will obey me in my house. His kids will obey him in his house. Do you understand? If you choose to serve God, then choose to serve God and serve him. And if you don't, then shut your mouth. Go somewhere else. I love you. Praise God. I want you to choose him. But if you don't, man, don't act like you do. In the name of Jesus. So here's our decision point today. Here's our decision point today. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 900 years. I don't care if you've never accepted Jesus Christ in your life ever. Right now, I want you just to quiet your heart, and I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. And today, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if and only if you choose to serve God. That's the altar call today. That's the call of the Lord today. Choose to serve me. And if you choose to serve God, I'm going to ask you to stand up in just a minute. But before you do that, really think about your answer. How long has it been since you've cracked open your Bible? How long has it been since you've been on your knees in prayer for more than thank you, Jesus, for this food? Amen. How long has it been since you turned off a TV show in conflict with what you know your belief systems are? How long has it been since you turned the radio off from a song with lyrics that celebrate standards that are contrary to what you know is what God says is right? even though you know the kids and people that you influence are watching you as you say it's okay by not turning the channel, listening to songs, and living how you live and doing what you do. I'm not telling you I'm perfect because I'm not. I like music. I like to laugh. But I love God more. And I think that now, in this season of our life and where we are in history, I think God is saying, choose you today who you will serve. I think it's a decision time for the church today. I think it's a decision time for the church today. I think it's a decision time for the church today. So before you stand and say, I choose to serve God, first time in a long time, think about, do you really? And are you willing to sacrifice for it? And if not, don't stand up. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for a show. You're doing it before God himself, man, and he will hold you accountable to what you say. I would rather that nobody stand than you stand out of falseness and lying and not real resolve. Because what you say before God, he will hold you accountable. Amen. Listen, we do these red cards. Pastor Josh talked to y'all about these red cards. And we're going to all do offering here in just a second. Guys, come on up. Ushers, if you can. We're going to do offering for the house while you make your decision. If you know in your mind right now that you're going to choose to serve God, listen, don't break the reverence of the room. This is a moment for people. If you know in your heart right now that I'm going to stand and say, I choose to serve God, whether the first time or your first time a long time, I want you to indicate that on this card. I want you to put on down where it says prayer request that today I chose to serve God. And then say, this is my first time or this is my first time in a long time. Every one of you should have a card in your hand if you choose to serve God. And then when the offering buckets come around, put your tithes and offerings there, be obedient, and drop this card in there if that's you. Because I want Pastor Josh, Miss Amber, I want them to be able to connect with you after today and encourage you to continue. See, I'm going to be gone after today. But they're the man of the house. He's the man of the house. And when you put that on this card, he will contact you and he will partner with you. And this church will partner with you to hold you into that resolve, to give you accountability so that you can continue to do things that you're making a decision to do today, so that you can continue to serve God. So put it on this card, amen? And connect with this church body. It's a good house. Man, go ahead and start collecting offering. Go ahead, guys. Let's see those.
Hey. All right, we're going to turn it up a little bit. Take it to that place where we were at the beginning of the service, but talk about freedom. Hey! Freedom!
Freedom!
Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. house. Hallelujah.
I don't want to stop it, man. We should walk out of here and celebrate. Look, here's the thing. If you made a decision to serve God, I just want you to put your hand in here. Right up. Put your hand here. If you made a decision to serve God, okay, awesome. If you made a decision to serve God for the first time, put the second hand in here. Come on. All right. If you made a decision to serve God for the first time in a long time, put your hand in here. Come on. I see more hands going up. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Hey. If you need prayer, when we're done singing, man, you come on up here and get some prayer. Prayer team's going to help you. But we're going to walk out of here, man, not beat down, not broken, because if you made a decision to follow God, you are set free indeed, amen. And so what we're going to do, we're going to walk out of here jamming, man. We're going to walk out of here having a good time and celebrate God, amen. And if you need prayer, come up here. Don't leave the same way you went out. But let's leave this place celebrating, amen. Come on, let's worship God one more time.